Pickaxe.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Fuck, how do we get started?
You say hello and welcome to the Yog Pod with me, Lewis, and my friend here, Simon.
That's right. Welcome to our podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about all sorts of gubbins. We're going to be checking through some more listener emails that have been sent in. And
I can't wait.
Are you excited?
I am visibly excited, Lewis.
Hello, and welcome to the
So, what shall we start off with? Have you got anything you particularly want to talk about this week? Has anything happened? You want to bring up anything on the agenda?
The Higgs boson was discovered, and that seems to be like the huge news story that everyone's talking about. And it's strange because it was only a couple of weeks back that everyone was talking about bath salts. And how, you know, they make people crazy and someone turned into a zombie and was eating someone's face. And I'm thinking that maybe...
What?
Maybe the two things are related. That maybe if you take...
I didn't hear about these bath salts being caused by to make people eat each other. I completely missed that.
It's bath salts. It's the big news story that everyone was talking about across the entire world. Everyone was going crazy. There was this news story...
Right.
And it said that basically there's going to be a zombie apocalypse because some crazy guy was eating a face.
What?
And it didn't make a lot of sense.
No, I've not even heard of this until now, but oh my goodness. But, well, that was a crisis averted.
It's crazy that you haven't heard of that. That was like the biggest news story.
I'm too busy.
That's crazy.
Well, there you go. But it hasn't caused a zombie apocalypse. We're all still fine.
I think it has caused the discovery of the Higgs boson, though.
Right.
Because I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, the discovery happened so soon after a man was, like, gnawing another man's face off after being high on drugs.
So you...
Also, you know, you're a noob to this, so I should probably explain that bath salts, they're not literally bath salts that you add to a bath.
Right.
That sort of, you know, relax your muscles and... have a nice sort of fragrance to them.
I was thinking they were that.
No, they're not. They're not literally bath salts.
What are they then?
They're a drug.
Oh,
it. I think it's like mashed up blue Smarties and dehydrated Sunny D
and meth.
And when you add the two together, you just go crazy.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't have any clue. So how is that related to the Higgs boson? I mean, can you narrowly avoided getting a degree in physics? So I mean, you're not really qualified to talk about this. But
no,
I'm interested to hear what you think this means.
However, you're going to ask my opinion anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how it works.
That's right.
Well, from what I understand, the Higgs boson is a particle that will disprove the existence of God, and there's a big conspiracy by the Illuminati to keep it a secret, and the Pope himself has killed a bunch of people and has made it look like a secret organization is behind it all.
Right.
It's up to one man, played by Tom Hanks.
You sure it's not Matt Damon?
Yes. Demons and Angels. Haven't you read it or watched the terrible movie?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the new Bourne film that's coming out, but no.
No, it's the Dan Brown book. You know, with Tom Hanks, is that
That
bloke?
Was ages ago. That film was years ago.
Yeah, but it was about the Higgs boson. That was like the big sort of like MacGuffin that set the whole plot in motion.
I thought it was like about antimatter and shit. I didn't think it was about the Higgs boson.
It was about the whole. It's what it's called, the God particle. And Dan Brown obviously heard someone call it that, and he was like, "Oh right, okay, I can make a book around this," without actually like realizing what it is or anything
or doing any research whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it Stuart Lee said about Dan Brown? He said that Dan Brown was the author, the great author who wrote The Man Picks Up the Red Pen. It's literally a sentence that he wrote.
It's brilliant. Like Dr. Seuss novel. So yes, a baguette didn't sabotage the LHC for long enough. But yeah, I don't really sort of know what's going on at all. I must admit, it's all a bit too beyond me. The Higgs boson.
I feel
and
that
all this.
You need to be more in touch with the world and current events.
Yeah,
we need to have like a newsletter or something about, you know, all the important events that take place in the world. I don't think like watching The Onion or reading The Onion is quite enough. Mostly because that's not real events. It's sort of satirical.
Yeah.
Maybe look at a news site.
Well, I think one of the problems is that
MMO champion.
Wow. I think one of the problems
they don't really do coverage of a lot of current affairs.
I think that this whole man eating another man's face off was very American news, you know, and we just don't get exposed to that sometimes in the UK. Our news is more, you know, David Cameron.
Cat stuck up tree.
like more, yeah, it's, you know, local fate, fire kills granny, that kind
it's
of stuff.
It's more about immigration and house prices than anything else, isn't it?
Terribly boring. So this leads us nicely onto the UK citizenship chest. Fuck's sake.
I'm sorry, citizenship chest.
Well, the first thing you have to do to pass the test is be able to say that word. and I've just failed. So, yeah, I think you probably have to do a similar thing if you want to be an American citizen. Mm. So you have to sort of fill in all of the, you know, answer all these questions about, you know, how the United States Constitution works and stuff that we have like kind of no idea about really. And some of the questions are very difficult. I've got some very difficult questions.
I get
questions
the feeling
here.
That probably like immigrants to the United States probably have a better knowledge of the country than people who were born there, if that's the case, if they have to do a test.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that I saw this list of sort of 15 questions and I couldn't really answer hardly any of them. And I'm sort of wondering if you can, Simon. Are you up for this?
Okay.
So, which tribal...
Is this the UK one? The UK citizenship chest?
Yes. Which tribal leader fought against the Roman conquest of Britain? Do you know that? Is it Hadrian, Boudicca, King Canute, or Churchill?
Boudicca, isn't it?
It is.
Boudicca.
Very good. How did you know about that? From Civilization
Yay!
5, maybe?
No, because I went to school.
Okay. Which king?
She was the woman. She wore like a metal bikini.
That's
that
correct.
Had cones coming out of it, like Madonna.
She did.
It was her, basically.
Citation
yeah.
needed. But yeah, definitely her. She was in charge of the sort of Celts, wasn't she? So later on,
we used to call her Boadicea.
What? Boadicea? No, that was someone else, wasn't it?
No, it was Boudicca. But Boadicea is what we used to pronounce Boudicca, and then we like apparently found out that we'd been pronouncing it wrong all these years.
I had no idea. I thought she was someone else completely. Weird. Which king defeated the Vikings at the end of the 9th century? Was it Alfred the Great, King Canute, King William, or King John?
God, what king defeated the Vikings?
At the end of the 9th century. I mean, what a boring question. But, you know...
It happened so long ago as well. The 9th century. That's over 1,000 years
we
ago.
We're like, you know, we've got such a lot of history.
How has that got any relevance to today?
I know, but there's so many things like that, though. So, you know, Boudicca obviously is pretty irrelevant. But, for example, which famous document led to the formation of Parliament? Do you know what that was?
The Magna Carta.
Very good. Very good. Which monarch established the Church of England? Quite an easy one.
Henry VIII.
He didn't like... yes, very good. Which monarch was defeated by Oliver Cromwell in the Civil War?
Charles I.
Oh, my God, you're getting all these right. You did history, did you?
I did do history, GCSE.
Who was the first Prime Minister?
The first Prime Minister...
Yeah.
It's not Walpole or...
Yeah.
No.
Robert Walpole. Yeah. How did you know that?
I don't know. That surprised me.
I'm Simon's uncle, and when I'm not running away from spiders and farming and cleaning up pig street, I like listening to the Yog Pod.
You're ninjaing this citizenship test. You are definitely a British citizen. Now...
It's good to hear. Thank you. Thank you so much. Am I allowed in the country now?
Yeah, you can stay.
That's good because it's really difficult to get Jaffa cakes overseas. I constantly get messages from people who aren't in the UK saying they can't get any. So I'm glad that I'm allowed to stay in the country. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. So you finished that one, but there's a more sort of realistic... citizenship test that you might be in citizenship chest. Jesus, that you might be interested in doing. So, are you ready?
Why can't you say that? Why can't you say that? Why do you
citizenship
say
citizenship chest? I don't know.
Citizenship chest.
I don't know. It's terrible.
It's more effort to say it wrongly. I don't. What the
so,
hell?
Please complete the following question. About Britain that are more relevant now.
Okay,
most people who aren't from Britain won't get these answers.
Ah, that's good.
But I feel like you might have to like answer them and then maybe give them an explanation in your own words. So,
okay.
So the first question: please complete the following sentence. It's nice to see you. To see you.
Nice. Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
That's Bruce Forsyth, Brucey.
What is the correct response when someone drops a tray in the middle of a canteen?
Yay! Now this...
Yeah, it's raucous applause. That's always what happens for some reason in Britain. It's not
when someone drops a glass or something when there's shattering, or you know, someone knocks over a big sort of roast dinner, or. Just anything collapses, you cheer. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense, really, does it?
Even if, you know, it's Christmas Day and your mum's made a lovely big semolina pudding, you know, for dessert or whatever.
I do like a good semolina pudding.
And she's coming into the lounge with the semolina for everyone. And she's got this massive steaming thing. And she just catches her foot on the edge of the carpet because, you know, because your dad had moved the carpet. And she's turned into a baby. And then she falls. The semolina goes flying and it splodges out all over the carpet.
No.
And then everyone goes, hey! Because that's how it's done. In Britain.
It's strange, isn't it? Very odd.
That is a strange
one. Why do we do that?
Do you have any good sort of memories of that type of sort of family dinner party type thing? Because that actually did happen at one of my Christmas family parties. The semolina went flying.
Oh, God.
It was a disaster. We were cleaning it up for days.
I remember being very angry at my auntie who came round with her like massive dog just as we were having like Sunday dinner. And I just sat down and I had my dinner on my lap because, you know, we're fairly sort of lower middle class and we got like our dinners on our lap.
There's quite a lot of you, you know, it's not enough space, you know.
Roast chicken, you know, gravy all over it all, some Yorkshire pudding, roast potatoes. Oh, it was lovely, Lewis. It was lovely, nice bit of carrots. Oh, it was delicious. And I just sat down and then her dog just leaps up into my lap and sends the plate just spinning in the air.
Oh,
so he like catches, it's like a seesaw kind of thing. So he catches the side of it and it just went and went on the floor. And I was furious. I was absolutely furious.
I can imagine. How old were you?
I was probably about 22. I was 5 years old. It was my first ever roast dinner that I was allowed. I was sitting at the big boys' table. No, I was probably like a grown lad.
A grown man.
And
it just, it was like a slow motion thing. I can see the expression on your face as the plate just like spins around in midair and gravy just sprays up the wall. Did the dog sort of catch the chicken leg in his mouth as well and sort of just run off?
Oddly enough, though, we had lamb instead of chicken. I got that wrong. It was lamb that we had, a roast leg of lamb.
Oh,
and oddly enough, that the day before was like the last time I ever saw my father. I don't know where he went to. We had that delicious roast leg of lamb. Oh, it was lovely.
Well, there you go. So, next question on this thing. There's a picture here of two lovely-looking Geordie lads. Can you tell me which one is Ant and which is Deck?
I don't think anyone can tell the difference between them. Apparently, they have this thing in which they have to stand alphabetically. So Ant will always be on the left and Deck will always be on the right as you look up at them.
Oh, my God. I never knew that.
So, that's supposed to be the way to tell, and they always supposedly try and stand that way around.
That has blown my mind.
But realistically, no one can ever really tell which is which.
Okay. They're kind of like twins, but not twins, aren't they? You know?
They're twins that don't look anything like each other.
Yeah.
That's true.
Weird.
I think they're both quite small, aren't they? They're both quite... You know, they're not tall men.
Diminutive.
They're sort of pocket size. Diminutive.
Yeah. Are they dwarves?
I don't think they are, no.
Okay.
But they probably have the heart of a dwarf locked away somewhere in a cupboard.
Okay.
Hopefully kept chilled.
Yeah, in a freezer cabinet or something.
Out of direct sunlight. Yeah. Otherwise it can spoil.
Lovely. Packed safely in ice with an ambulance waiting. Do you want salt and vinegar? There's two options here. Yes or no?
Now, this has got to be a reference to chips.
Yes.
Do you want salt and vinegar on your chips? And, of course, you always just say yes without thinking.
Of course you do.
And if you have, with fish and chips, if you have like a big bit of fish as well, they tend to just pour the salt and vinegar all over the fish as well.
Yeah.
Which is, they literally just pour out salt, and you have like about half a pound of salt on top of your meal. But that's good because that's what makes it, you know, extra delicious.
It's the flavour, really. Are you a fan of salt and vinegar crisps as well? We're going to thoroughly confuse the Americans listening here.
Crisps? Chips?
Have you got a preferred flavour of crisps? Or do you just have whatever's presented to you?
I was thinking of getting some crisps on the way in today. I saw some red Thai curry ones.
Wow.
And I was tempted, but I wasn't tempted enough to actually buy them.
No.
Because I thought, no, they might be horrible. And so I didn't get any. So I'm not that you know, massively into them, I'll be honest.
No. Now, you know, in chip shops, you know, they always have, like, little, well, not little, but big jars of pickled eggs. Have you ever had one of those? Have you ever eaten?
I've had one in a pub before.
Right.
And there's, in a pub, it's traditional that you have a bag of crisps and you also have a pickled egg and you put the pickled egg in the bag of crisps.
Right.
And all of the salt and flavourings from the crisps go onto the egg. And what you do is you eat all the crisps and then when the bag is empty, you sort of like mush the flavouring, you know, bits of powder around the egg and then you eat the egg. That's how it's done.
Is this actually really something that is done? Because I feel
very ill. It is
actually
ill. Something that is really done. Something that's even more messed up, right? This is something my dad does in the pub, right?
Okay, do we need to know this?
He'll get a bag of crisps, right?
And wait, tell me what flavour.
You know,
pork.
It doesn't matter, right? And you'll find out why it doesn't matter, right? Now, I'm sure people are aware of what a Bloody Mary is, okay? You have vodka, tomato juice, Tabasco sauce, Worcester sauce, right?
Yeah.
Now, what my dad will do is he will have essentially the ingredients of a Bloody Mary poured onto the crisps, right?
Okay. Into
so
the bag.
Tabasco sauce and Worcester sauce just poured. No, not poured into the bag. That would be crazy. What he does is he sort of opens the bag up, so he has the sort of foil surface, like a foil.
So you tear the bag of crisps along the seam, so it's like a rectangle of foil with crisps.
A rectangle of foil with like a pile of crisps in the middle,
right?
And then he pours all the Worcestershire sauce and Tabasco sauce over the crisps. And it's quite good because sometimes you get one that has like the perfect amount on and it's quite nice. But sometimes, right, you get a dangerous one that has, you know, maybe 4 or 5 blobs of Tabasco sauce on.
So
and you have to eat it because you picked it up. You can't put it back down. You've got your fingers all over it.
And then there's just an egg on the top. I mean, this is like the British
scrambled
equivalent
egg.
Of nachos, isn't it? Really is. It's like
it's a really downmarket nacho.
I mean, if your dad was doing like MasterChef, you know, or like Iron Chef, you know, and he had to present his like main course, you know,
that would be it. Yeah,
that would be it. He would, you know, they'd zoom on him like tearing the crisp packet open, like down the seams, and he'd go, "He's done this a lot. He's a master. He's a true master of his craft."
Well, it's pub snack food, isn't it? I mean,
pub snack food.
I mean, at least it's not pork scratchings, because that's the worst, grossest shit. It's literally pork fat, right? From, like, the skin layer. And sometimes on pork scratchings, you actually get, like, hair, pig hair still stuck to it.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just crazy. That is crazy that people eat that.
It's almost like, though, you know, people, if you have like a nice cut of like pork, you know, and then you cook it in the oven or something, you do get like the fatty bit on the edge. And the majority of people eat that, you know, and that's like, they quite like it. So that's what a pork scratching
nice
is supposed to be. You know, it's supposed to be sort of the rind.
Crackling. That's what it's
the
called. Crackling.
It's supposed to be like crispy and crisped and you know,
deep and crisp and even
lovely. So okay, next question: when does the DFS sale come to an end?
The DFS, the furniture store. Now, what does DFS stand for? Now, you think furniture store is FS, but what does D stand for?
Oh my goodness, I don't know.
Da furniture store.
So you're saying it's kind of like KFC or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like
discount furniture store. Ah, that must be it. Yeah.
Discount furniture store?
Yeah. That makes sense, doesn't it?
I think it might
be
something.
The sale starts this bank holiday and it continues until Sunday 2 p.m.
and then it resumes next Monday.
And then it resumes, yeah. So I think there is usually a window of like from when a store closes on Sunday to when it reopens on Monday morning, when there isn't a sale on.
Yeah.
But then the store's closed, so it doesn't really matter. So it never ends. It's a never-ending sale.
Mummy, can I listen to the yoga pod?
Fuck off.
Mummy, no!
So, obviously, that's J.K. Rowling and her child.
Okay, so next. Please complete the following question.
Okay.
Who do you think you are kidding, Mr. What?
Who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? When you think of England, we are the boys who will stop your little game. We are the boys who will make you think again.
You could be an entertainer in an old folks' home. You know that.
Oh, they would love that, wouldn't they?
They would love you to sing that.
They think I was Clive Dunn or something.
Thing is, right?
I'd need, like, the round glasses.
I think that, you know, we always think that people in an old folks' home, because when I was a kid, I actually had to go to an old folks' home and sing sort of old war songs, you know, like, they'll be, this is true.
Why? Did he do something wrong? Was this like community service you were doing?
It was, I don't know, I just had to sing, you know, roll out the barrel and all these terrible old war songs.
Was this
like
a scout badge?
There'll be bluebirds over the wide cliffs of Dover. I didn't have such a lovely tenor sort of voice back then. I was like, there'll be blue. Oh, I won't continue.
Oh my god.
But
please spare us that.
But I mean, I was obviously about, I remember doing it, and I must have been about 10, 9 or 10 or 11, and it was a school thing, you know, I think it was our school choir, and for some reason, you know, we were doing it. But I think, you know, now, 20 years on, those people, you know, who are those old folks, probably aren't listening to war, you know, like war music anymore. You know, they're probably like 20, that's 20 years out of date. So they're listening to stuff from the 1960s, you know, like, I guess the Beatles. Isn't that weird?
That's quite scary, isn't it?
Do you think that's right? I mean,
oh my god. What are we going to be like when we're old? Are we going to be like insisting that we still use the same sort of iPad and iPhone and
oh my god.
You'll still be wearing your aviator glasses. And we're like, "Come on, Mr. Brindley, I've got your aviators ready. Sunny out."
Wow.
I mean, it's a bit weird because all of the fashions of now are pretty much the same as they were in the 1980s. So it's all a bit weird. Everything goes in circles, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, are we going to get, like, kids coming to our old folks' home and singing Spice Girls and Sugar Babes?
Oh, my God.
And Oasis. Oh, my God. That actually doesn't sound too bad.
Oh my god.
Manic Street Preachers, maybe?
I was thinking more like Skrillex. It sounds like a.
That is the sound that the dog made when he knocked your plate off at Christmas and grabbed your chicken.
My leg of lamb that had been used to murder my father. Yeah. God damn it.
No, your dad turned up fine. It was a burglar that your mum knocked out that Christmas, don't you remember?
Oh, right. Sure.
Except your dad was 10 years younger and spoke with a Eastern European accent.
Yeah, that was strange how that happened to him.
When he came back.
Apparently he got like a nasty knock on the head, and that's why he started speaking in a sort of foreign language most of the time.
Yeah.
And occasionally he would say in broken English, you know, "Here's £5. I want you to leave the house for a couple of hours, Simon." It's a bit strange, really. But
go to the cinema.
We didn't have a cinema.
Watch Revenge of the... didn't you? How did you watch Star Wars? I almost said Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith.
That's not right at all. You were like 31.
Oh, God. How many more questions are there? It's taken us ages.
Only two.
Oh, right, okay. This is good.
I think. Or only there's only a few more, actually. The UK is experiencing very hot weather.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Sweltering.
But the Sun, the headline in the Sun reads, "Phew, what a..." Is it either A, relief, B, pair of baps, or C, scorcher?
Phew, what a scorcher. It would be,
right.
It'd be cool. What a lovely pair of baps.
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
That would be the sort of headline that would go with, like, you know, a baker who is like a pastry girl or something.
Oh, yeah.
And she's holding a pair of baps in her hands. Flowery baps.
Britain's youngest baker, or whatever.
Britain's youngest baker, and she's legal. I have to emphasise that. It's not like 6 years old.
Oh, my God.
That would be pretty inappropriate. I think, actually, what was it? Was it the Mail that said they had, like, this massive go at Brass Eye for doing, like, a paedophilia special in which they mocked the media's obsession with paedophiles?
Yeah.
You know, which was so bad that, like, paediatricians were being beaten up because they were just riled up by the media. And they were having a go saying this Brass Eye thing's disgraceful. And on the exact opposite page, there was a picture of Charlotte Church, who I think was 15 at the time, saying, you know, basically, oh, she's growing up. She's becoming a big girl. Oh, look at her tits. It was basically saying that.
Oh, my God.
It was shocking.
Wow.
It's absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
But she wasn't a baker, so that's irrelevant. Oh, what a lovely pair of lungs she's got. That's pretty much what it would have been.
She's a very talented singer. So, you have met a girl from Greece, Simon. What might she have a thirst for? A.
Right.
Knowledge. B. Retsina. Or C. European financial assistance.
Yeah, that's the thing about Greece, isn't it? It's becoming famous for just having a disastrous economy and basically bringing down the euro. Did you hear that David Cameron is going to be, like, shutting the borders to all Greek people because they suspect there's going to be, like, a million refugees from the remains of Greece trying to get into other countries across Europe?
Is this where the zombie cannibal thing happened in Greece? In the bath salts, Greece?
It was the Romans that were famous for the baths, wasn't it?
Oh.
Not so much the Greeks. The Greeks are more famous for the boys thing.
Lovely. Moving on. I don't know if I pronounce Retsina correctly. Is it Retsinger?
Retsinger.
The flipping wine thing. It's like sort of...
You can't pronounce shit properly. So, I wouldn't even bother with Retsina. Oh...
Retsina. Have you ever had Retsina? Is that how it's even pronounced?
It sounds like something like an upper class family would call their firstborn daughter. Retsina! It's time for your violin lesson. I'm coming, Mummy. Hang on. I just need to put my bow tie on. I don't know why she'd be wearing a bow tie, but...
Well, you have to. It's part of the rules. good. Well, good. That's great. You are at a football match.
Oh.
How many... you love it, don't you? You love being at football matches.
I love the football.
Now...
Did you see that ludicrous display last night?
Have you ever actually been to a football match?
Yes! Of course I have.
Have you?
Not
whereabouts?
It's been a while.
Which one?
I've watched Cheltenham Town play...
Right.
...a few times. And I've seen Cardiff City.
Well, Cheltenham Town are pretty sort of low in the leagues, but they're a good team, lovely team, Cheltenham Town.
The Robins, they're known as.
But Cardiff were Premiership level for a while, weren't they?
Maybe like in the '70s or something. I don't know.
Cardiff City. So who won? Tell me what it was like. I want to hear this full experience. I want to hear the story of the time you went to the football.
What, one particular time?
Oh my God, how much did you go?
Been a few times, not a lot, but, you know, handful of times. I saw Morton in Marsh play as well.
Yeah.
That was like the most local side, and they were non-league and terrible.
Well, Moreton in Marsh is tiny.
Yeah.
It's like got like 3,000 people live there. I mean, that's like
pretty much,
you know,
yeah.
Everyone turns out. Even like, you know, old Mother Wilson from the
old Mother
co-op.
Wilson from the co-op.
You know, she's playing in goal. God, it's not exactly not exactly exciting stuff. What was the crowd turnout? Like five dads standing around the size of the pitch.
No, it's like everyone in the country came. They actually had to get a stadium. They imported a stadium in, and they put it up for the day. It was full capacity. There was like 57,000 people there watching this terrible football team concede 7 goals.
Jeez.
But you're watching the football, it just involves standing as it rains.
Pretty much.
And of course, goals are pretty infrequent. In non-league matches, you might see a few more because like the pitches tend to be smaller and obviously the goalkeeper is under a lot of pressure. You tend to see a bit more action. But like in proper professional matches, you'll often be stood there watching an hour and a half of football and you won't see a single goal.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not the most interesting game. It's like cricket. I mean, that's even worse. Jesus.
But I don't mind cricket. Cricket's quite chilled. You know, you don't really go for the actual cricket. You kind of just chill out and drink a bit and chat. And it's quite sort of chill. It's just quite relaxed. It's usually quite nice weather. I don't know when cricket's on. It always seems to be. I don't know why that is. But with football, it's always sort of, it's always cold. It's always a bit miserable. You know, I seem to remember when I was in my teens, I went through a phase with one of my friends and he had like a sort of an off-peak season ticket, which meant he got to watch kind of the less interesting league games of Ipswich Town, which was quite a way up on the train. It was a couple of hours from where we live, but that was still considered to be a local team. Well, not a local team, but so much as, you know, it was just a sort of a decent team. So rather than going to London, we went sort of up to Ipswich. And the one thing that really sticks in my mind from those trips, apart from how boring and horrible and cold it was that when I was sat in the stadium watching the game, that was probably the most dull game ever, you know, like Ipswich versus, you know, Rotherham or something, just someplace you've never heard of.
The Giants of Ipswich play the Giants of Rotherham, making them both look normal sized. Yeah.
And, you know, they did all that and they bigged it up and they announced all the players and they all came running out and, you know, they all started kicking the ball around. And the one thing that sticks in my mind really strongly is that there was no big TVs doing replays or anything fancy like that. You know, it was just quite a big stadium, quite a lot of people there, lots, very, very noisy. And you were sat down and as soon as the ball got kicked towards the goal, suddenly everyone was on their feet.
Yeah.
Okay. There was this. There
In
was
unison,
this.
In unison, everyone stands up.
Yeah, and I.
And goes, oh!
I was obviously still sitting down because I didn't know that this was like the rule of, you know, the rule to do, and I couldn't get it. I just couldn't get it.
Could you stand? Could you please sit down? For goodness sake, I can't see what's going on.
I think there were only like two occasions when the actual goals were scored, and neither of them I saw. Okay, or had any clue as to what happened, because people leapt up. I was still sitting down. And then, like, you know, I was like, oh, I missed it. And it was just, and there were occasions, I tried to like preempt it though. I tried to preempt it and I tried to like preempt when I thought people were all going to jump up. And so there were occasions when I jumped up on my own, but no one else jumped up. Right.
Did you cheer as you did it?
It was almost like you're in a choir or something, or you're singing and you are left, you start, like, you're belling it out for some reason. And then it's like silent in that bit of the song, or that verse is like, you know, not what you thought it was. And you just belled it out.
Awkward.
So, yeah, that's what I remember from going to the football. Good times. Good times. So, yeah, you're at a football match. How might supporters of the opposing team be going home? You're going home. Is it A, in a fucking ambulance? B, on a delayed train? Or C, promptly?
You're going home in a Volvo estate.
Oh, wow.
That would be quite cool.
That would be quite comfortable. I think I was going home on the train. But yeah, a delayed train, probably. So B. But yeah, I mean, we Britain, England used to be renowned for its sort of hooliganism and stuff. But we kind of, we've stepped back a bit on that, I'm glad to say. And we're letting other people take the crown.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's nice when when there's a football match taking place in the Ukraine or something, and a load of black players go onto the pitch and like half of the stadium suddenly start doing monkey impersonations. I think it does a lot for English football by having other countries look, you know, so much worse than we are. So good on you for just being complete racist cunts. Thanks for that.
Thanks
for making us look so much better.
I'm a man, and when I'm not having a pint in the pub or working on shipbuilding site, I listen to Yogpod.
So the last question in this real citizenship chest... Oh, fuck! Have I not... I'm not even trying!
How can you do that? How can
World
you
War II
so
relic?
Badly? fucking hell!
Which World War relic is housed in the Albert Hall? Now, what do you think would be in the Albert Hall, Simon, from World War II? Would it be a Spitfire? Would it be a gas mask?
Is it anything to do with that, maybe?
That little song that you were singing? I mean, that's one of the ones that I had to do when I was performing for the old folks, actually.
Really? You did not sing that lyric, please.
Hitler has only got one ball, the other is in the Albert Hall. His mother, the dirty bugger. Oh my God, I'm not going to sing the rest of that, but...
Cut it off when he was small.
Cut it off when he was small. So, there you go, thanks. I'm going to get a remix of that. Oh no, let's not remix that. I think that... That came about after World War II. I don't think that people were actually singing that during World War II, were they? Because that song is actually something completely different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Colonel Bogey. That's the name of the song, I think. So yeah, they're misappropriated lyrics. Is that right? Have I said that correctly? I don't know. Who cares? We're doing the citizenship chest. I think I'm allowed to mispronounce the odd word.
Apparently, one of the things that I do know about that is that the lyrics definitely changed over time because it was originally Goring has only got one ball, not Hitler.
Oh, really?
Or Goering. And he and it actually went like, I think it was like Goering. I don't want to sing it again.
Go on. You sing it so beautifully.
This is an episode of me singing like World War
II
songs.
It's not like it's inappropriate because I mean we're allowed to be mad and and rude about the Nazis. I don't think you're not going to get into trouble for mocking the Nazis.
So, I mean, originally, we weren't just at war with Germany, obviously, and there are a lot of, other problem states, like, of course, the Italians and everyone else, but mostly it was the Germans. And this is about the sort of, it was originally had all four of the main Germans in it. So it went, Goering has only got one ball, Hitler's are so very small, Himmler's so very similar, and Goebbels has no balls at all. That's apparently the original.
And that's what you sang in this old people's home. Oh my God.
There is like another lyric as well after Hitler's ball got chopped off, apparently. There's like tons more verses that people have come up with and variants. I mean, that's the one that I sort of we sort of learned, though. Isn't that weird?
It's good. You know, you got the old piano out. You were banging out a tune. You were singing about testicles, these old people. They were loving it. They were loving it.
So there's a second verse about Hitler's mother.
Oh. Whoa. Let's not bring anyone's mum into this.
Hitler's mother. She threw it over West Germany. It landed in the deep blue sea. The fishes got out their dishes and had scallops and bollocks for tea.
That is brilliant. Oh, my God, that is absolutely brilliant. Oh, I love that. Oh, those old people.
They had a great time. They were loving it.
And did you go around like every week and sing these songs with them?
No, or... we were banned after the first time. No. Oh, there was that thing when you were a kid that you did. I don't know if you did this, but you know, when I was in the Scouts, you know, we did have to go to church, and we weren't always like the best behaved kids. You know, we did sing our own like dirty lyrics along to songs or whatever. I don't know. It's just something that was done. I don't know if that stuff is still done like these days. I don't know. I feel really old talking about this stuff. It was a more innocent time where we sang songs about Hitler's bollocks in church.
Well, there were sort of like lyrics for just about every sort of popular hymn. They were like alternative lyrics that were like rude, that were about like balls or dicks or poops or farts or, you know, something ridiculous.
They all got passed down in the playground, didn't they, you know?
Yeah. See, that should be on the test as well. So how did we score on the test? Have we passed?
You passed.
Yay!
You passed with flying colours. In fact, you're now eligible to apply to be the Prime Minister, Simon. You passed with such flying colours that the government actually want you to come in and...
Would people vote for me? If I stood for Prime Minister, would people vote for me?
What party would you be representing? I mean, what would be your policies?
The S Club party.
Because there ain't no party.
Like an S Club party.
There ain't no. Absolutely. Do you know what? I think you'd win. I think in the current climate, people want a bit of S Club. Did we ever find out what S Club stood for? Because, I mean, that was a bit weird as well.
Sex Club.
Oh!
Sounds a sex club.
S Club party. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know, actually. I don't know. Special. The special club.
Oh, God.
They got a special clubhouse in which, you know, all the furniture is made of plastic and has curved edges on it so that nobody hurts themselves. There's all sorts of different coloured crayons.
Keep them busy. You have to keep them busy when they're not performing, you know. Awesome. So we have a few questions from Jognaut sent in. You ready to answer these, Simon? First off, we've got one from Tiffany Leung, who writes, after listening to your Yogpod about your granddad's blood type earlier ages ago, I was curious about my own blood type.
Are you kidding me? Your granddad is a B, that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was like a century ago.
That was a long time ago. I was curious about my own blood type, since all the people in my class know their blood types, but I didn't. Looking on my records, I couldn't find anything, so I bought a blood type tester, and to my surprise, I was B negative. This is surprising, because in this city, people with a negative blood type was under 1%. It couldn't have been passed to me by my parents, because my mother was a B positive and my father was an O positive.
Oh, my God.
And then she's just sort of left it hanging there. And she says, anyway, I wanted to ask you a few questions. So
she's adopted, basically.
She's got these questions.
Oh, my
and then,
God.
And then she, after the question, she says, last of all, your Yogpods really cheer me up. I haven't smiled in 2 years because I am simply unhappy. Yours truly, Tiffany. So,
Tiffany.
Don't worry. I'm sure that your parents are your real parents. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Do you want to answer these questions?
I would love to.
So she's got a question for me. Have you ever punched Simon in real life?
What?
Well, as you can imagine, that's not such a strange question because, you know, we do have tiffs occasionally. You know, me and Simon have arguments and we shout at each other like any, you know, happily married couple. Wait, what? No. I mean,
like, wow.
You know, where we do get on each other's nerves sometimes, especially if we've been on a plane for, 13 hours and I have to sit next to that, you know. So
yeah,
you can understand why I might want to punch someone in the face. I haven't, though, and you never punched me in the face, I don't think.
Not in the face. Do you remember when we, you know, a couple of times I think this happened, we'd be walking along and I would just suddenly realise it was the first of the month and I would punch you.
That was lovely. Yeah, I remember that.
You were like,
and
ow,
one time you did it quite hard.
Why did you do that to me? What's wrong with you?
I think one time I went into the road as well, which was rather dodgy.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, I pushed you. I pushed you into the road one time, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. You could have died. sorry about that.
Don't push your friends into the road. Simon is a massive jerk.
Yeah, don't do that. I pushed you off a boat that one time.
You pushed me off a boat. You threw a mug at me. Do you remember when you threw the nice mug at me and smashed it?
Oh, Christ, I did, yeah.
You smashed one of the recording lights in here, but that was yesterday.
Oh, that was an accident. I was trying to turn I thought the battery had gone in it, and I was trying to get it to work, and I didn't realise that it was such like a thin shell.
Smashed it into bits.
I didn't even realise it was a thin shell. I thought it was, yeah.
That's not your fault.
It was like an eggshell. I feel really guilty because Hannah, like, put so much work into making that. And
I know.
I, like, just threw it away in the bin.
She made Simon this lovely recording, like, with his name on it, and it was, like, on air.
I'm sorry, Hannah.
It's all right. She'll accept the apology if she listens to this, I'm sure.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, we like any couple, you know, we get into arguments. I don't think I've been very physical towards you. I think it's because it's a bit like it's a bit like I've told you before, you know, when I got into fights with my brother, you know, and locked him out and he charged at me and beat me up and sat on me. You know, I was obviously, as an older brother, I always bullied my little brother a little bit, you know, when I was young. And when I was about, I think about seven or eight, when he was about six or seven, at that point, he started getting bigger than me. And ever since then, he's been bigger than me, substantially. I mean, he's like a foot taller than me and about twice my weight now. And
oh, my God.
It was about the age of seven or eight when that sort of crossover happened. And from that point on, he took no shit from me at all.
which was
kind of cool. And my brother's amazing, actually. He's literally the gentlest, like, nicest guy you'd ever meet. And he was never like, he never sort of turned it around on me or anything. And we got on quite well, me and my brother. I think siblings often argue and stuff, like, a bit like what we do, but yeah. Mm. You can't have a long friendship with someone without having a few arguments.
I do pick on you a bit, don't I?
God. Not really, actually. It's not too bad. I'm kind of used to it.
Oh, God, you sound like a beaten wife. Oh, God.
Next question. When did you start wearing glasses? Now, I don't know when you started wearing glasses, but I started wearing glasses when I was in the middle of secondary school and I moved. I think I started getting in with a bit of a bad crowd. Now, originally when I went to secondary school, I was quite good. I was, you know, I was sitting up at the front, you know, because always the good.
Did you join the tunnel snakes?
Oh my God.
You got a leather jacket.
I was a little bit too old for that.
Oh, my God.
I missed that whole leather jacket. But it was more, damn. You know, I started, you know, when I started school, I was good. I was in, like, the best set for maths. And as I went through,
yeah.
I gradually, like, moved towards the back of the classroom. And when I sat at the back of the classroom, I realised that I couldn't actually see what was on the, like, blackboard anymore. And so at that point, like, it was like a weird transitional period in my life when I was like 13, you know, and I wanted to join like the cool club and sit at the back and be all like rebellious.
Oh.
But at the same time, I couldn't see what was going on at all. And I had to get glasses.
Oh,
I didn't really
God. Want
to get glasses because it would have made me a little bit uncool.
That's amazing. If you didn't need glasses, you probably would have been like a total rebel rather than like a nerd. You would have been like a cool kid.
At the same time, I think that you know, these guys who sit at the back of the class and are really sort of some of them probably just need glasses and then they'd be able to see the board. Then they'd get a much better education. I think that's how I feel it. You know, there's a lot of cool kids sitting at the back who can't actually see. Yeah. How about that? But these days, contacts would have solved my problem, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen back then when I was 13. No such thing.
They didn't exist. They weren't a real thing. They were just like a dream.
I remember being in physics and sitting at the... Well, it was all science. I can't remember. Maybe not physics, science. He taught me physics later, the same teacher. But his name was Mr. Burke. And
awkward.
Well, I mean, that's asking for it, isn't it? And I had because I couldn't see the blackboard, whatever he was drawing. I was just bored, you know. I was sitting at the back, having to be quiet. I couldn't follow along with the lesson at all. I couldn't copy what was on the board.
Oh dear!
You know, so I was copying off other people, and you know, and what I did was I got into a type of bad habits where I didn't even bother copying off at all, and I was just drawing a cartoon.
Did he ask you a question and you couldn't answer it because you couldn't read what was on the board or something?
Well, I mean, that happened all the time. That's nothing.
Brindley,
no.
What is a gravity?
Well, I don't know, sir. I don't know.
That happened a lot. But I was actually drawing a cartoon of a big sort of stupid-looking man.
Uh-oh.
And I put a sort of speech bubble that came out of it and said, "I'm Mr. Burke."
Good job.
And of course, what happened was...
He was coming towards you, but you couldn't tell because your eyesight was so bad you didn't see him coming towards you.
Well, no, I could see him, but I was so absorbed in the drawing that I didn't notice.
Yeah.
And the first thing I heard over my shoulder was his booming voice, and I froze. And I think he just
Brindley.
He just no, but you know what? He didn't do it like that. He just cleared his throat. He went, "That's not how you spell Burke," because his name
that's good. That's classy.
Was spelled differently. It was like B U E or something like that. R K. It wasn't
R K E.
Yeah.
B E. Okay.
It was like Bork or something. Anyway,
Bork.
So yeah, then I got glasses
Bjork.
And I returned to my originally
you joined the nerdy kids.
Intelligent and studious self. And I went back to my roots and I had a much better time there.
And then he discovered this game called World of Warcraft. And the rest was history.
Wow. No, I went to university and played World of Warcraft for 4 years. Managed to pass my degree though, as opposed to one of us.
And then awkward.
Got a job. But yeah.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Wow. That was a cheap shot.
So when did you get your glasses? What was your story? Do you have a story?
I'm still recovering from that burn.
Oh,
my goodness.
Sorry, do you want me to bring in some yogurt or you know, some sort of after sun?
Some yogurt, yeah. I'm a bit peckish. That'd be nice.
Okay.
Can I have a digestive biscuit to dip in it as well, please? Thank you.
I'll just smear it all over your face.
Oh, now who's the bully? What's going on? Wow.
I don't know. It's just talking about schools brought all this terrible stuff back.
Yeah, you're talking about being one of the cool kids, and now you're like,
No, I mean, my time at school was terrible. I mean, I was like, you know, I was tied to basketball hoops and thrown on top of lockers. I had a terrible time at school.
Did they hang you up by your collar on, like, you know, clothes hooks?
I was definitely on the receiving end rather than on the other end. I've always been a bit too nerdy. I mean, I was in the kind of computer. I guess I was like the in-betweeners, though. You know, I always talk about the in-betweeners because one of my friends from school, Joe Thomas, does actually star in that.
There's a US version of it now. Did you see?
No, I didn't.
Oh, God.
Is it any good?
Probably not.
Oh. I might have to have a look at that.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, big fan of that show because it's very similar to how school was when I was around because I was kind of one of these awkward, like, people who was sort of between being... cool. Well, I was nowhere near being cool at all, actually. But I wasn't the biggest nerd either. I was trapped. So what about you? Go on. I'm sure people were terribly interested to hear. I mean, when you were at school, they still had the cane, didn't they?
Yeah, and did I get the cane once? I can't remember. I might have done. I've, like, blocked it out.
I was only joking. I didn't think you were that old.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It was, like, the end of, like, primary school. It was just sort of being phased out. But, yeah, it was crazy. People did actually get beaten by the headmaster which is just insane when you think about it, isn't it? It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
It sounds insane today.
A grown man just sort of beats this kid with a large stick. I mean, what the fuck?
Probably wouldn't fly today, would it?
No.
So let's hear the story about your glasses. When was the first time you wore them and started wearing them and what have you?
I think it was just as I was starting secondary school. I didn't need them all the time. It was only, you know, if I was sat at the back of the class, I couldn't see the board. But obviously, if I was nearer, then I could see it. So I didn't need to wear the glasses if I was at the front. So it was always awkward. It was like, do I sit right at the front and look a massive nerd, or do I sit at the back of the class and look a massive nerd? So I didn't really have much of a choice one way or the other. It was like, do I look like a nerd with glasses on, or just a nerd right at the front with all the swats? And
the swats?
The swats. So I'd mix it up a bit. I don't think I really care. I just stopped caring. I was like, as long as I sat near someone that I knew, you know, it was fine. Didn't matter whether I was at the front or the back. I think generally it was around the middle, about as far back as I could sit without needing glasses. Yeah, I quite like asking questions to the teacher as well, so that's always good, being quite near the front to do that. They weren't always relevant questions as well, which pissed them off.
I can imagine. But, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, exactly. So I would just ask just random things of the teachers. But I quite like that. I like engaging with them. And sometimes they quite like that as well. Some teachers would just go off on tangents really easily. Like art teachers in particular were terrible for that. Because at the end of the day, teaching art, you know, let's be honest, it's not the most difficult thing in the world. And they didn't put a lot of effort into it either. So a lot of the class would just be, okay, we'll get on with drawing stuff. And that would be it. You know, they didn't actually tell you any techniques or anything. It'd just be like, just, you know, draw this. There you go.
Actually, that is true. Get on with it. That is true. Yeah. You never really got taught anything in art, did you? Just sat around.
It was terrible.
It was like, do art. That was it. That was what the teacher said. Just do some art.
Do art. Just do some art.
I don't think I ever had any teaching. Well, I mean, that's one of the things, isn't it, in school? I mean, you start off, like, as soon as you... When you start school, you know, all the teachers are scary and gigantic and different and big and, you know, they're your enemy. And then at a certain age, usually, I think it was sixth form for me, it kind of changes a bit and they become a little bit more friendly and, you know, they become your friend. And I remember my economics teacher was this huge, huge man called Mr. Gardner. He was a massively overweight man. He was so big. We had the classes out in the sort of, because our, you know, schools obviously expanded and we had like temporary sort of buildings.
He was so big they had to like build an extension on the school. What? I don't get it. What?
Yeah. Well, no, but he was just a big man. He didn't like walking around. And so he pretty much stayed in these sort of temporary buildings all day. Anyway, he had this massive, massive sort of big chair behind his desk. And it was like sort
commode?
Of...
It was like a commode? It was... like a toilet built into it.
Wow. No, actually, no, let's not talk about him and be mean about him, because he was a really lovely guy. And the funny thing is that he had this massive chair and it was almost like shaped to him, you know? So no one else could possibly sit in it. It was like a sort of bench. And he would never actually get up to write on the board either. I mean, he was just a very lazy man. And he would instead, what he would do is he would basically get the chalk and he would like just raise his right arm up and write behind him on the board. And he'd sort of learned to write like without looking at the board backwards. So
what
he'd write like
fuck?
All the notes behind him like this on the board.
That is and like this. I'm doing
it, but
I can't see you. You dick.
Like I've got my right arm held up, and he just did it over his shoulder. He didn't even look. And he obviously it was a complete disaster.
What is wrong with him?
He was very funny. He was very nice. I did economics with him in sixth form, and actually, just after I finished my exams in upper sixth, he died of a heart attack.
Oh my god!
Which is very sad because he was a lovely man. So RIP.
Sad, but not entirely unexpected.
No, not really. But yeah, so it's funny how that really kind of hit me though, because, you know, he was a good kind of friend. He was a really nice man. And it was at a time when I considered sort of teachers to be not quite the distant figures that you normally consider them to be for most of your school life. So
you realised that he was a human being, a man.
There you go. It's a bit of poignant. Aww. Poignant true story.
That's
there.
Nice. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go. So thank you, Tiffany, for the question.
Thank you, Tiffany. I hope this helps you and makes you a little bit happier, maybe. Oh, God.
I don't know about that. Oh, my goodness.
Poor Tiffany.
Hello. I am Her Royal Highness, Queen Elizabeth II. And this York pot is by royal appointment. Hello. 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 One fancies a Jaffa cake.
Next up, we've got a message from Joe Dolls. I think that's his name. He says, I live in the flight path of a major airport and air base. When a plane flew over, making lots of noise, I wondered if you guys had an airline, what would it be named? What planes would fly in it? And where would you fly to? Sincerely, Joe Dolls. So, you know, we did talk about Yog Airlines, didn't we? When we were in America.
Yeah. The maiden flight, it wasn't a great success.
No. It was a disaster. But I think people are more interested in you know, how we were planning on operating Yog Airlines.
I think it would be a bit like, it would be like Ryanair.
Right. Ryanair. That's their business model.
The flights would be like £5. And people would be like, oh my God, only £5 to fly to like Tenerife. And then we would add all these extra charges on. You know, the £5 doesn't include the actual seat. So it's standing. But of course, you're not allowed to stand. So you need the seat.
Right.
By law. So, and the seat's like an extra £50.
Right.
And the seatbelt is like another £50. You have to buy the seatbelt. The headphones that are passed out, they're like £200.
Wow.
You get to keep them, though. You don't have to hand them back into the box at the end of the flight.
Whoa. Okay. It's generous.
So, yeah, there's going to be all sorts of little extra fun charges. I mean, you don't have to, you know, pay for these things, apart from the ones in which you do have to pay. You can add all sorts of taxes onto things as well. Fridge tax, hair tax, earplug tax, if you want earplugs.
Yep.
Water tax, if you want a sip of water, it's £5 per sip.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, make sure you only have little sips, or make sure that you drink a lot before you get on the plane, but not too much, because if you want to use the loo, it's another £20. And that's only for number ones. Number two, wow. It's 100. It's 100 for number
Whoa.
Twos.
Well, I think this is literally the way the airline industry is going anyway. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next flight. Actually, when's that scheduled?
Well, I still have to do my flying lessons before we can fly. I've decided to be a bit like John Travolta. I'm going to learn how to fly a plane and be a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
But I need a co-pilot. I need two co-pilots, I think.
Follow your dreams. Who are you thinking of for the co-pilots?
Are you interested in learning how to fly, maybe? Lewis? No? Maybe?
Having been someone who's driving somewhere with you as my co-passenger... Mm. Is pretty bad.
Now, I'm so, not the one who, like, missed a turning twice, putting, like, an hour and a half onto our journey that time, going from Reading to Bristol.
Yeah. There you go. So, Ian Kohler writes, in a related vein, what is the longest trip you have had to travel by car or bus? And where were you going?
We were going to Bristol, and Lewis missed a fucking turning twice. That's the longest fucking trip.
I live in America, and my family drives 14 hours from Michigan to Georgia to visit relatives.
Oh, my God.
So, where is the longest you've had to drive for? Have you ever done a big, long road trip in a car or anything adventurous? You've driven around Europe? Have you ever, you know, gone on an adventure to trip in a caravan? I don't know. What have you done?
I haven't really gone on like a big road trip
I don't think, no. I don't like being in the car for too long. It's horrible. I've been on a train journey that was about 12 hours up to Scotland.
Damn.
And that was ridiculous. That's just, oh God, that was a bit bad.
I know. I went on a coach trip to Scotland, and that was about 14 hours on a coach, and it was horrible. It was awful. I mean, just service stations and stuff. I really hated it. I went on a sort of a drive around France with one of my a couple of my friends once as well, and we took my friend's car, and as soon as we got into France, and we were like going through sort of the driving off the ferry, I think going on to like through customs and stuff. As soon as we got off like the ramp, just sort of smoke and steam started coming out of the engine of the car. And we had to like stop, and the radiator had like, it was basically just a radiator, but the car overheated. So we filled it up with water. We were like, oh, it probably won't be a problem. And, you know, we drove for another half an hour in the blazing sunshine, and it just went clonk, and, you know, smoke started pouring out of it again. So we pulled over again, and it pretty much went like that for the next sort of 6 hours until we got back home. So yeah, that was a fun escapade.
Oh my god.
One time I went to France on a school trip, I forgot my passport, which was a disaster as well.
Wow.
But they let me through. They let me in anyway.
You look a trustworthy lad. Come on in.
With like a flipping busload of school kids, yeah. It's supposed to be, you know, getting in isn't the problem, but getting back is apparently the problem. So
how can getting back be the problem? You're like, yeah, let me into my own goddamn country, you flipping English your frog
bastards. What? Oh, yeah.
The English wouldn't let you in. They would say, sorry, you can't come in. This is our country.
But I'm English, don't you know? And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, old chap. Come back in.
They would have you perform a series of tests, such as, you know, complete the following sentence. Nice to see you. To see you.
Nice. Hitler has only got one what? A, ice cream. B,
Hitler has only got one ice cream. The other is in the freezer. No, it doesn't really work.
Thank you very much for listening to the Yog Pod. We will be back in future, I'm sure, for more adventures. Send us your questions.
Woo!
Yogscast@gmail.com. We may not answer them, but we'll have a go. Bye. Bye!
You've been listening to the Yog Pod episode 43, which was created by the Yogscast and stars Simon Lane and Lewis Brindley. It was produced and edited by me, Sparkles. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to go because I think Simon's found out I keep doing this and he's not very happy and I'm probably going to get fired. Bye.
Did you like at the end of the previous Yog Pod that Sparkles did like a little outro thing?
Yeah.
Did you know that he was going to do that?
Doesn't he always do that?
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Maybe I should listen to the Yog Pod more.